When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I can hear EastEnders.
Sorry, I can't. I've got my headphones in, so I can't. Sorry, I've muted it now, so we're ready to go. There is no more EastEnders. No more EastEnders.
You've got the volume up at 42, but you can't hear it. Just Andy and I can.
I could just hear. I heard somebody drop something. I could hear every single click in Fowler's keyboard there, but I can't hear EastEnders. But you all can. And a weird quirk of fate there. Bloody hell! Right, ready. Let's talk about football. Let's have a well earned laugh.
Jesus Christ, let's go.
Just knocked over a bookcase.
I'm trying to add an extra book to the thing. Right, that's fine. We give it a 30 second countdown. 30, 29.
There. That reminds me, there's a bit in Borat where. There's a bit in Borat where it wasn't the movie, but it was the TV. It was when he was part of the 11 o'clock show, where he went to, he was in the United States, and he gave this speech to, and he said, "I'd like to have a silent memorial for this genocide in Kazakhstan." And everyone's like, "Fair enough, right? Let's begin a 15 minute silence." Very funny. Very funny.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
This time, 100%. Yeah. We're definitely doing it this time. 100%.
I always fuck up the intro as well, so probably it will go in the second take. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Thursday. Oh, fucking hell, man. Are we doing Thursday? Are we saying it's Thursday?
It's the Terrace Podcast. It doesn't matter. You date it automatically. If someone tunes in tomorrow, they'll be like, "Oh, where's Friday's episode? I'm a day late. I won't listen to this."
That's why I stopped. That's fine. I'll go again.
Oh, my goodness.
The first one's a wee practice run for me.
Is this what the podcast is going to be? This is like a Samuel Beckett play. Outkicks, fucking hell. This is like a Samuel Beckett play where nothing gets done. It's just, this is like a metaphor for life, just loads of kerfuffle, but nothing actually happens.
I just think, see when Fowler said, "Right, that's us recording." I think this should just all be part of the show.
This is
the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Just put out the actual stuff we're talking about in the Patreon.
It's a real peek behind the curtain.
It's like a horrible peek behind the curtain. It's like catching an old man putting on a pair of trousers. It's like you just don't want to see it. Nobody wants to see it.
Right. Alright, we go. Well, good.
Yeah.
Please, right, can we? If that's okay, can we?
Okay, right.
This time, 100%.
This time.
Andy, do you promise me this is a time?
I promise you. If I make a mistake, I'm just going to go with it. It doesn't matter this time. Let's just rock and roll.
Right, okay.
As I've never said to anyone before. All right, three. Oh, I don't know why I'm counting down. Anyway, just a bit of silence and then I'll start. Welcome to this Paris Scottish Football Podcast. I nearly said what day we were recording on again there. We are here with myself, Andy Harrow, and I've got two very special people that I'm doing the podcast with. You will know them both from the TV show A View from the Terrace and also from this podcast sometimes on a Thursday. I have Sean McGuigan.
Hello there.
And I've got Craig Telfer.
That's the worst introduction anyone's ever given me. Really? At any platform. You may know them from the television or this podcast, which sometimes they are on a Thursday.
That's why I generally have to sort of write something down from introduction and I obviously don't have time
to. You know what? You know when people say it's gone Titanic? You know when people say something's gone Titanic? At least the Titanic had about like a couple of days of good cruising before the iceberg. This is Challenger.
People forget the first 3 or 4 minutes of that Challenger journey.
No, it was 3 minutes, it was seconds. It was about 13 seconds it was in there before it blew up.
That's not what we got. Hello.
Hi, Andy's hello. Was probably the best thing about it. Then when he said, I'm not supposed to say what day of the week it's recorded, that was the equivalent of when the fuel tanker blew up.
Yes. Well, I can only hope that the rest of the podcast goes slightly better than my introduction where I barely mentioned either of you. I haven't even mentioned what on earth we're supposed to be talking about.
I can't even remember.
No. It's a sort of inside the actor studio sort of thing we're going to do. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about some of the best moments from the Scottish lower leagues from the summer of 2020 all the way through till just now. We're going to do about 45 minutes in our standard show, and then we're going to do a few more over about 20 minutes in the Patreon. We have a list compiled. We'll go through that list, and I'll be the kind of Joel or Fowler are usually in this position, and the kind of butt of jokes. So that I'm happy. As has already started, I'm happy to be in that position today. I think this is the first time I've ever done one with both of you guys. Actually, not sure I've ever done a podcast with
it's like you're the substitute teacher, and we're just mucking about. Like I'm pretending I'm Sean McGuigan, and he's Craig Telfer. You know, we give the wrong names for the register. That kind of thing. Put a tack in your chair. I don't know.
We'll make a long-awaited start. So the first,
I'd fucking love it if we could start. That'd be tremendous. Thank you.
The first one we've got for today is number one, which is always a good place to start. It's George Galloway attending Palmerston and all hell breaking loose.
I think. The only way is down from here, because this by far and away, I don't think this is just the most absurd thing to happen in the Scottish lower leagues. I don't think it's necessarily the most absurd thing to happen in Scottish football. I think this was perhaps one of the most curious episodes in the past 10 years in this country's history. Gorgeous George Galloway, the disgraced Labour politician, inexplicably pitched up at Palmerston for a match against Dundee. Dunhamers lost it 3-1 on Boxing Day, and there was no prior explanation as to what he was doing there, other than he tweeted some pictures from it. And then a bunch of fans, quite rightly, said, "What on earth are you doing there?" And he was like, "I think you want to watch your tone with the way you're talking to me." Because with the insinuation that he was using his celebrity to draw attention towards the club, but of course it had the complete opposite impact. Fans were outraged, and then on top of that, the board released one statement apologising for it, saying, "We are sorry," if we hurt your feelings. And then a second one saying, yeah, we're sorry about saying we're sorry, we hurt your feelings. Just a shambles from, like, it was like sort of like your introduction, Andy, but slightly worse. Shambles from top to bottom.
Yes, it would have been like as if that was my second go at the introduction. That's what it would have been like. You know, it's bad when it ends up in The Guardian as a kind of full page article. What was the worst part of it? Was it the fact that Galloway was there at all? In the first statement, Queen of the South said that George Galloway was allowed to be there and was kind of adhering to all the COVID protocols, and he was within his kind of family bubble and everything. And then obviously in the second one, they said that it was that was all been agreed before the new restrictions came in, and he shouldn't have been allowed at all, and that's why they were sort of apologising. But what was the worst part? Was it the... Was it George Galloway himself, or was it Queen's for the sort of non-apology to start with and then backing down sheepishly later?
There was three things for me that I particularly enjoyed. The first is just basically what I was imagining was happening in the Queen of South boardroom. So they obviously, I do believe that they arranged for him to come when the restrictions weren't in place. Then either forgot that he was coming, or just thought to themselves, you know something, let's just leave it. Let's just not say he can't come anymore, because it might be more trouble than it's worth. Let's just let him in. Nobody will know anything. Nobody will be any the wiser. And then he'll just leave and it'll be absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. And I would, all the way through, I was kind of, as it escalated and escalated, and they put pictures up and then on Twitter, and then people were responding, and then it was escalating in there. Then it went to Pine Bovril. Then it was in the newspapers. Then it was on the news. And to picture the board members' contorted faces as it got worse and worse and worse. So that was the first one. That, like, they're like, mm-hmm. kind of picturing their brains kind of going 10 to the dozen. How are we going to get out of this? The second one was kind of Galloway's partial explanation when he said, I think you'll find I have 5 season tickets for me and my family, and I am a potential sponsor, and I am bringing this club to the attention of millions. And then the person who actually sponsors their jerseys replied to him, like, well, I sponsor their jerseys and I give them a lot of money and I can't get in. And then the last one was the fact that Queen of South had a kind of mealy-mouthed apology. Basically, the first apology was like, we're a wee bit sorry if you're not very happy. If you're disappointed at us, we're sorry about that. And then, I think, was it literally the next day they apologised for their apology? It was pathetic. And I presumed, as much as this was nothing to do with Queen of South performing on the park, I used this as evidence that Queen of the South were definitely getting relegated this season, because there was such a Wraith Rovers 2015-16 vibe reeking off them, because they could do nothing right on the park, nothing right off the park, and they just looked amateurish and pathetic. And since then, they've barely lost the game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that 100%, Sean. It was just one of the things I did enjoy. There's if who uses Pie and Bovril will be familiar with this, there's a poster on Pie and Bovril, a Queen of the South fan called Skyling Drifter. I'll be honest, Skyling Drifter has been incredibly helpful to me in the past. I think, and he's obviously works at Queen of the South, and he's got a good grasp of like administrative rules and how and why things work. So he's very vocal on other clubs' threads, is when people are talking about, say, they need an emergency loan, he'll explain the rules to them. But interestingly enough, when his own club was through the shitter, he was nowhere to be seen. A couple of days later, I think it was when Queen of the South beat Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup. They beat them 3-0 at Hampden. I was commenting on the thread, and he replied to one of my comments. I responded back and said, with talking about the game, and then finished with, so you're going to tell us what George Galloway was doing at Palmerston? Nothing. Didn't hear back from that. That was something that I enjoyed. Just a bit of a gobby guy who's a bit of a big noise on the internet, having nothing to say when his own club was just an absurd moment. And thinking, imagine you're like a young person in Dumfries. You're not 100% sure if you want to go and watch Queen of the South. You think, wow, George Galloway's there. I've got a head down now.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there was probably a part of it where Queens just thought they could invite him, and there would be, you know, 9 out of 10 people they would have, who are potentially looking to sponsor the team would have gone down there, not put anything on social media, and gone away again. Nobody would have been any the wiser. Unfortunately for Queen of the South, they decided to give tickets to one of the most self-serving, publicity-hungry pricks going. So that was. That, you know, that's where the problem started, and they only escalated from there, I suppose. Well, we talking of teams who have had a bit of a disaster on and off the field at times this season. Number two is David Hopkin resigns from Morton in a, quote, selfless act after assembling the largest, most unbalanced squad in the lower leagues. Sean, this was a bit of a strange statement from Morton.
I don't get the fact that it was selfless. I mean, the statement seems to suggest that Morton were now going to save money because they didn't have a manager. Well, that's quite unusual. Normally teams do need managers, and he'd recruited out a massive squad with just one goalkeeper and hundreds of strikers, and it didn't necessarily ring true. I presumed that it was more the fact that maybe he didn't have more money to spend, and then decided that perhaps it was time to move on, and he saw the writing on the wall rather than necessarily a selfless act that was going to save Morton money.
I thought was quite interesting about this was the fact that if it had been a selfless act, the statement on the club website would have had a quote from David Hopkins saying that I really enjoy my time managing Morton, but to safeguard the future of the club, I think it's best that I move on. Thoroughly enjoy my time here. You know, something like that, something you would see when a manager steps aside. But the fact that there wasn't, and then subsequently came out that I'm sure he was told to basically sack players. Am I right in thinking that he was instructed by the board to sack players and wouldn't do it? So he effectively said, well, I'm away then. Am I right in thinking that?
There's a quote in the statement that says, I think it's from the chairman, it just says, I discuss budgets with Hoppy. I think that's a bit amateurish, I always use his name. I discussed budgets with Hoppy this morning and we looked at possible ways to improve our financial position. In a selfless act, he said he would resign if it would help the club financially. I doubt that was one of the first things that come to mind. I would imagine it was, reducing the playing staff, for example, and if I'd some kind of set to on the matter, rather than I've thought of a good way to save you some pounds, I'll leave.
I'm sure it was David Hopkin was told we need to get rid of the goalkeeper. It's like, well, we've only got one. Exactly. That's going to be the club's USP this season. We just play different players in goals. It's called having a laugh. Mm-hmm.
And instead of the zero goalkeeper policy, they ended up with the zero manager policy. As to be said, they weren't.
Good job! You moved on immediately from that. You didn't hold a breath there. You just went straight on to it. Yeah.
I know when my jokes are bad, Craig. If nothing else, I know when they're pretty poor. It should be said, I suppose, that they weren't doing very well anyway, were they? So they were seventh, and I think they managed 7 points from the first 6 matches, so it wasn't exactly like they were getting rid of somebody. It wasn't a George Burley situation here, was it with hindsight, has it been the kind of right decision, if you can even call it that in the first place?
Do you know something? Hopkin had a budget to spend, and he has not spent it wisely. The rumours that he was paying for players out of his own pocket, that might be true. I've no idea, but they've become no better and no worse since he left. The fact that they're struggling this season is because he has spent that budget in a very bizarre manner. Imagine starting a season with one goalkeeper. I mean, that's very odd. And to be fair, that might be the thing that they're least worried about, because the one goalkeeper that I've had is had a very good season. But it's just weird. It's been a weird season for Morton. I think they'll probably stay up, but just odd. Just an odd season for them.
Just an odd club, though. Just a lot of a lot of decision making that's done at the club, and you hear stories about how they train. I'm sure there was not somebody that injured themselves because there was a rabbit hole on the training pitch. Am I right in thinking that? I'm sure that was the case. There was somebody injured themselves because of a rabbit hole on the training pitch.
See if that hasn't happened already at Capello. It almost certainly will soon.
On the... So that would leave a wee bit of silence there for that. The hosting duties, this may be my last time hosting, which would be fine. The next thing we're going to talk about actually is another Morton thing, talking of them having an odd season. They had a tweet out the start of February, saying that we're hoping that this signing with UEFA Champions League experience could help spur the team on to great things this season, and then said 30 minutes and an egg timer. The guy they got in was somebody who came on for 2 minutes of Tottenham Hotspur's 2017 Champions League campaign.
Do you know something, Andrew? You say yes. It's 2 minutes, but yes. I got asked a question on A View from the Terrace and I gave the answer 2 minutes, and it turned out it was wrong. He came on in the 88th minute.
So three.
But he played, was he the 4 or 6 minutes in?
94th, yeah, he played.
So I got that question wrong. But regardless, I don't mind this tweet. It's just a bit of harmless promotion.
But I've been embarrassed if I was a player, though. I don't think I'd want to be known as somebody with Champions League experience coming to Morton.
Fuck off. See if I was like 60 and stuff like that, and I was telling my grandkids, I'd be like, I played in the Champions League. Oh, really? Who for? Well, it was for Tottenham Hotspurs against some unpronounceable team from an Eastern European outpost. I'd be like, well, the fact of the matter is that you still played in the Champions League. I think that's brilliant.
No, but that's good. I mean, I'd happily do it. But there's
would you tell Andy? You've got a daughter. Would you tell her if you played in the Champions League?
No,
Of course,
I would tell her. But there's a difference between telling somebody at the end of your career, or you know, your daughter or a grandson or something, that you played in the Champions League, which is great. That's really cool. As opposed to, you know, being the big news of a signing. That is not something I'd want to be kind of laboured with. Because
Andy,
a little like a joke, and then the expectations are also kind of. Overly high as well.
Andy, do you think that the Morton fans who saw that this guy had 6 minutes of Champions League experience was like, oh my goodness, we have signed the second coming of George Best? No, I think Morton fans would have been in the joke. I think this is and the player himself was probably in the joke. I think this is just a funny joke that everyone can enjoy.
I once got voted man of the match in a Glendale Plastics Sunday Amateur Fife League, and I am genuinely proud of it. I can only imagine how proud I would be if I played 6 minutes in the Champions League. I think he would be fine with it as well.
Fine. I don't know. I think if I'd spent a bunch of games somewhere else, that I might be slightly embarrassed. Not embarrassed of playing in the Champions League, but embarrassed that that's the way I'm kind of announced to the team. Maybe he doesn't care at all. But I don't know.
How would you have improved the tweet?
Let's hear you, big fucking creative Colin, right. Standing there with his finger on the button. How would you have improved it?
All right, I would have said, what did the tweet say?
Let's Spurs check. Reserve?
No, I said, we're hoping this signing of, and I'm just bringing up his thing. So we're hoping this signing of Southend and Doncaster legend will make a big difference to our championship
battle. But that's a lie. The Morton tweet was factual. What you've said is a lie.
we can't prove that in the 8 appearances that he made for Southend that he didn't become a legend. And I think there's a you know, you've got some creative license here, whereas the fact that you put out about Tottenham is just it's just overkill, I think.
Well, imagine being. Yeah, I tell you, Andy, if I was a football club and you came to me looking for a job in social media, I'd tell you to clear off.
Craig, I'm 37. I'm no good at social media. That's it.
Well, you've just proven that in the last 5 minutes.
If we move on from Morton, I think we've probably got something with Morton further down. But next one on the list is Willie Gibson offering Andy Halliday outside in the middle of a game. So this is Queen of the South playing... Hearts. This one's a bit low key for me.
Yeah, it's like, if you want someone off route, you want Willie Gibson to actually grab Andy Halliday by the lapels and chuck him over the main stand at Palmerston. Mm-hmm. But that's, since we didn't get that, we just got him like gesturing with his thumb.
The bit I like was just that Andy Halliday got like really quite worked up about it. I just like seeing Andy Halliday getting worked up. I'm not very keen on Andy Halliday. I don't think Andy Halliday is very good. I think he is, to be fair, I suppose he's had a good career for the limited player that he is. But I like seeing him annoyed. And he was really annoyed by Willie Gibson. And what I would say is, Andy Halliday possibly had a point, because I thought Willie Gibson maybe made a meal of the challenge at the start. So I can understand why he was worked up.
Yeah, it was a wee bit of a cynical sort of attempt by Halliday to stop him. But yes, it was probably exaggerated from Gibson. The thing about Gibson, the interesting thing I find about Gibson is that the sort of turnaround in, I think, Telfer, you hate narrative, but the turnaround in what his career has sort of been, he's been seen as a sort of Andy Halliday type figure and a joke figure and everything else.
If you watch tomorrow night's episode of You from the Terrace, Willie Gibson is described by one pundit as the best player outside the Scottish top flight at the moment.
Well, that's the thing. Can you guess who it was? From absolutely nowhere. Joel.
No. Joel, that cunt, nah. You didn't know that Willie Gibson, he came up and slapped him sideways. No, it was me that said it. He played against Dundee at the weekend, and he was absolutely superb. And he plays that position at right fullback, but he doesn't play it like a right back. He's obviously a very talented footballer. He plays it like a central midfielder, and he doesn't necessarily make overlapping runs. He always sort of looks to come inside. He does different things with the ball, and it's great to see. And he capped the performance with an absolutely superb goal, and long may it continue. Although I remember watching him in that, weirdly, that match earlier we talked about, when Queen of the South beat Queen's Park 3-0. He was a very good performance that day as well, and he was being interviewed after the match, and he said that, "I've lost 3 kilos like unprompted." And it was like me, I remember when I did Slimming World and I lost a stone. I was almost a stone in 3/4 of a stone. So really, really a good effort. But I'd tell anyone who'd listen, like, you try to work it and you're on a phone in a call centre, like getting your car tax renewed, and they'd be like, "Yes, it is a nice day, especially all these new clothes that I can fit into now, you know, after losing all that weight in the Slimming World, you know." So I do know where he came from with that, but I thought, come on, mate, you're doing well. But
bear in mind people laughed when he signed for Queen of South as a potential fullback. Everybody sniggered, but he's been absolutely tremendous.
What were did you have meals to do as part of your Slimming World, Craig?
You started cooking for yourself and just not eating as much. I was in bad habits, and to be honest, I'm trying to do Slimming World at the moment. However, last time out I was able to go to the gym, so a combination of the two really worked. But because I'm effectively not leaving the house, I left the house today, but that was to put something in the outside bin. So was I outside the house? Literally, yes I was, but it doesn't necessarily count. Not having the combination of those two things.
What was the makeup of the class? Because I could imagine you being a kind of housewife's favourite, if it was full of housewives plus you.
Sean, see, how you imagine the class to be is exactly how the class was.
and were you the housewife's favourite?
I wouldn't say the housewife's favourite. I'd just say I attended. That's probably the kindest thing that I can say. It was good though, it worked, I'll say that, it did work. It's just that I'm with the lockdown having kicked in March last year, and not being able to go to the gym, and someone who doesn't like exercising, like doing cardio unless it's a sport, I think it's quite easy to we're not here to talk about my issues, we're here to talk about funny lower league stuff. Move it on, Andy, move it on.
Mm-hmm. We will never forget
that Craig lost one and three quarter stone at Slimming World in the summer of 2019. What's up next, Andy?
Thanks, Craig. Yes, we will never forget, and that was the banner that Partick Thistle fans unveiled at the start of the season, which also weirdly had the badges of Stranraer and Hearts on it, all due to the whole league shenanigans that went on over the summer, which ended up with all those teams relegated. Is this the most tin pot thing we've got in our list?
I thought you were going to ask if this is the most tin pot thing you've seen this week, and I was going to say no, because Jimothy Spence shared a tweet earlier. Do you remember in 2013 when he was quote-unquote threatened by a Rangers supporter and didn't necessarily believe he got the support from the BBC, and a bunch of Mark Aberdeen supporters unveiled a bedsheet with "We are all Jim Spence" written on the front? That's the most pathetic thing I've seen in Scottish football. This is the second most pathetic thing I've seen in Scottish football.
Who's this banner for? Like, surely all or 99.9% of Partick Thistle fans, Stranraer fans and Hearts fans were mortified by this. And like, if it's supposed to be a kind of show of unity, a show of strength, and kind of getting it up the other 39 clubs, the fans of the other 39 clubs that seen this flag laughed and were embarrassed for them. Who is this flag for? Even the person that got it made up must have thought to themselves, I have really fucking wasted £75 here, or whatever it costs.
It might have been for the Hearts fans. The motto "We will never forget." Hearts fans, you know, they do have a bit of a hard on for World War II sloganeering. So possibly
it's not World War One.
I think it's World War One.
Listen, Andy, if you are going to slight the Crazy Battalion, at least get the combat situation correct first, please.
Yes, World War One. Apologies to all in McRae's battalion that have offended.
Can you
that.
Imagine there's somebody like a McRae's battalion, like great grandson, listen, where's that Andy Harrow cunt getting stuff wrong? I'm not having that.
I did history for uni as well.
You'll be history if you keep that sort of stuff up.
I know, but yeah, it was a pretty lame. There was a couple of other things like this, wasn't there, around that time? Was it Hearts fans had their own sort of internal stuff going on with this, but for Thistle and Stranraer to a lesser degree, it felt like one of the rare times where they feel like everyone's against them, I guess.
Do you know something? See in the kind of late, early summer and then over summer, I became so bored of this discussion. There was, as a Rovers fan, who, bear in mind Raith Rovers, we know that they were the pandemic beneficiaries. So there was an element of kind of schadenfreude when it comes to other clubs. However, there was a part of me that thought, well, it is a wee bit of a shame for Stranraer and Partick and Hearts and teams that missed out in the playoffs. Of course, I thought, you know something, that is a bit of a shame, the fact that we can't finish the season and it's come to this kind of conclusion. But see, the longer it went on and the more we had statements and then articles about statements and then radio commentary on the statements, and eventually I just thought, you know something, shut the fuck up, and this flag at least was funny.
do you reckon in 5 years time the person's like, they're clearing out their shed and this horrible thing, it's just like got spiders eggs in it, and they'll be like, oh, what was I doing with that? I really should have spent my money more wisely.
They'll maybe have it. They'll maybe put it down in their hall if they're painting the walls, just to protect their carpet. So it might still have some kind of use.
You know, it'd be quite funny if it's like, you can just imagine the journey of this flag. Like it's on someone's fence. Then a couple of years down the line, it's been laid down while someone paints in it. Then during another pandemic, somebody's a body's been wrapped in it. Then you can just imagine it being sort of pushed into an incinerator with this dead grandparent or something. I don't know.
I would quite like to know whether there's anyone that got a tattoo with that sort of thing on it with the three clubs. That's something that there can't be many of in Scottish football, and hopefully somebody did that in a spirit of cooperation. But we'll probably never know. Number six on the list is Stirling Albion's Joe Biden Election Day commemorative T-shirt, which probably has been sold no times. Craig, what was your thoughts about this one?
Well, you wouldn't believe what I'm wearing just now, Andy. No, I can assure you, it's not a Joe Biden commemorative top. But I'm going to repeat, at the risk of repeating stuff that wasn't a view for the terrace, because we did look at this, but the fact is, there's so much text in the front of the T-shirt.
Mm, just, it's incredible. You know,
it's like, history will remember that at the moment Joe Biden was elected President of the United States, Stirling Albion were rattling in their fifth goal at Brecon. I mean, that's quite funny. me, but you will literally need to stare at someone's chest yep. for about a good like 9 or 10 seconds to read it. It's just it's very impractical.
I was trying to think of scenarios where you would actually have enough time to read that person's T-shirt. Maybe if you were the cox in a rowing boat, perhaps, and that person with the T-shirt was rowing.
Or if the person that was wearing it was in a morgue.
Aye, wrapped in that Partick Thistle flag.
Aye, that's too much and the font is too small. But other than that, it's good. I mean, it's different. Fair play to them.
Yep, absolutely.
But impractical, very much impractical.
Well, it's not impractical. I mean, you can still wear it. The T-shirt still functions like a T-shirt. It's just the print in the front's difficult to read.
No, it is impractical because you're buying it because of the message. You're not buying it just because it's a simple grey T-shirt. You're buying it because it displays that message. And as a display of a message, it is impractical.
What you could do, you could wear it back to front so someone walking behind you can read it.
You're in a queue, somebody could read it.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're walking in front of somebody and as long as your pace is approximately the same as them and you never get any further away from them, and then they can continue to see the message as you walk away.
Sean, what if you were queuing at Asda at the self-service checkouts and you just you happen to be with people queuing up behind you? That's when you think, damn, I really wish I had my Joe Biden commemorative T-shirt so I could give people something to read.
I wish I had spent that £15 on it now.
Oh, it's probably still on the website, I imagine. I'm probably can still get it, but I thought. It can't have sold out, surely.
I can assure you it has not sold out. It is still available in all sizes.
Remember when there was a guy who wanted more sway over the budget of the Wraith Rovers shop? And he was adamant that they could sell 500 beach towels. And about two years later, they still had 496. And he was allowed no more say in the budget.
There you go. So when another pandemic hits Kirkcaldy, that's what the dead will be wrapped in and put into the incinerator. All these Wraith Rovers beach towels.
My mum got me one for my Christmas and I laughed for about 15 minutes when I opened it. They're down to 495.
I don't have one of them. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. There's no hurry, Andy. They've loaded.
I don't think we're getting through this as quickly as Fowler would have wanted.
No, you just knew that as soon as we started riffing on shit, this is going to take a whole 3 hours for us to get through. Yeah. Sean, do you remember when we did that podcast that was at the top 10 and it took us about 20 minutes or something? Not 20 minutes, it took us about 3 hours to get through.
I like when we do the shows about the lower leagues and we say, right, we're just going to talk about 5 games.
Fucking hell.
We end up talking about all 15.
That was it. It was supposed to be nice and easy. We'll talk about 3 games. We'll talk about the 3 divisions, 3 games in depth, 15 minutes in one, 15 minutes in that, and 15 minutes in the third one. Podcast comes out and it's 2.5 hours long. Sean and I going off in mad tangents talking about Claude and Elka and that guy who cried when he got sacked for the handyman's job.
Right, well, we'll try to some degree to get back on track with it by going to number 7, which is, well, in fact, 7 and 8 are linked. It's number 7 is Alois, passive aggressive Twitter man, and number 8 is Hearts and Alois Twitter beef.
What is it about this man?
The chippiest man in Scottish football, possibly. I'd put it to you.
I've said all I'm prepared to say in the matter.
I have a feeling in my water that this man is not very keen on what Craig Telfer said about him on A View from the Terrace.
I've also heard that as well. He wasn't happy and felt that he deserved a right to right to reply. But you know something, it's an unnecessary chippy. But what I do think is quite good about this, because I think you see Queen of the South are doing this as well, when they call Hearts newly relegated, which I thought was quite funny. It's a good way to drive up engagement if you wind up Hearts fans. Hearts fans seem to be, a certain subsection of them seem to be very, very sensitive when it comes to any sort of criticism, and I think what the guy Al was figured out, and then subsequently that the ball, your stuff seen by a wider audience, and fair play. But I do like how Hearts have come back, particularly that one says disclaimer may contain medicine, and that one there. I thought that's very funny.
I was completely oblivious to this. There's your fucking medicine. I've never seen this clip, never heard this clip. And never seen this newspaper report. I'm not entirely sure. I wonder who said it and why he said it. There's your fucking medicine.
I really enjoy sort of...
You're just beating Alloa.
Yeah, I know. Well, I really enjoy that. Was it Rangers, same old Alloa always cheating? That was
Rangers,
Alloa, wasn't it?
That was Rangers, yeah.
Yes, yeah, Rangers and Alloa, yeah. I don't know what it is about Alloa that apart from their chippy social media guy, it seems to really... really get it up, sort of big teams who have ended up in the championship. But it is quite enjoyable. And I think what championship clubs have found in general is that if you engage Hearts in any sort of way, they'll bite. So whether it's by giving them a bit of grief online, or whether it's by making them buy loads of tickets for an online match with...
Yes.
The commentator who's not very good in Inverness.
Then, he's terrible. He's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, Hearts fans will bite, I know. But yeah, Hearts fans basically, some element anyway, will be willing to snap
wait
up
until,
all that stuff.
Wait until the Hearts fans tune in. Well, they won't have to, will they? Because the game's on BBC.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, wait until they tune in and the commentator gets incredibly all of Hearts' black players mixed up with their white players. I mean, that feels totally impossible, but that's what he does. I don't know how he does it.
When you said that he gets our black players mixed up with the oh god with our white players, say what? I'm glad that you won't follow up there.
He who was it who got mixed up? It was Regan Henry and was it Frankie Masunda?
Oh, was it Masunda?
No, you're right. It was Duku and Regan Henry.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. How? But you know something, he tries.
As I've proven today and in pretty much all the other podcasts that I've ever been on, that it's not easy just to talk to nobody for even a couple of minutes. So, yeah, you got to give them that. But it's the
you ever thought Andy it might not be your game, just might not be your thing podcasting.
Yeah, it's crossed my mind a few times, but I'm still here. Like I'm like Hamilton. I'm just not very good. No one particularly enjoys having me around, but you just can't get rid of me.
What would that? If Andy's Hamilton, Ricky's Sean, what does that make you?
Oh, I would be lower league. I would be below Hamilton. I don't see me in the top tier of podcasting ability.
Yeah, I would say I'm like the Brecon City, grimly clinging on where pretty much every single person in the country wants you down.
We haven't gone back to the podcast we're supposed to be doing with three jobbing podcasters. It's number 9, it's another Hearts one. It's Anne Budge's Hearts statement referencing Wars and Battle. And noticeably, she didn't confuse World War One and World War Two, but just sort of vaguely referred to Hearts losing battles but potentially winning wars. It wasn't, I would say it's probably not Budge's worst statement here, Sean, but I mean, all our statements are pretty terrible now, aren't they? Just word soup.
But surely the war was staying up. Like, surely this war for Hearts was staying in the Premiership. I'm not entirely sure what the war was if it wasn't that. So presumably if this was just a battle, if getting relegated was the battle, then the war is obviously the long game. But it isn't, is it? Like, where are Hearts going to be in 12 months from now? They're probably still going to have Robbie Nielsen as the manager. They'll be sitting eighth in the Premiership and everybody's going daft. I don't know what our war was. It was just a rubbish statement that lasted, that probably contained 23 paragraphs, of which 21 were unnecessary.
It was quite interesting reading this back. There was only one time she uses ellipsis, which is fair play. She's using them less and less. Oh, no, sorry, fuck, I'm reading it. There's a second time. Sorry, just ignore me. I should have read it twice before reading it. But that's something. We mentioned McCrae's battalion earlier and how they got scalped in the Falklands. So I imagine that that's just playing to the gallery in that regard.
I think it was the Iraq War they were involved in.
What? So it was. It was the first Gulf War, and they all came back with Gulf War syndrome.
Yeah, that was I'm fairly certain it was a Boer War.
Fuck yeah. It was some sort of global conflict, right? Can we agree on that at least? Can we agree on that at least and move on?
It was a Battle of Endor.
We're not actually amazingly finished with Hearts stuff in this. We've got number 10, Hearts sending Bobby's Lamal to St Mirren, and St Mirren then having to delete tweets taking the piss out of Hearts just days before as a result. And this was the heartbreaker stuff, where St Mirren were referencing the win they had against Hearts, which effectively kept them up and put Hearts down. This is the kind of, if Alwa is the slightly annoying side of Twitter, the St Mirren stuff was actually good. It's just a shame that they ended up having to sign Bobby's Lamal.
I quite liked it. Was it not just because Hearts fans took such umbrage at Lamal going there, and then they referred back to a tweet from about 24 to 48 hours previously, then St Mirren felt like kind of almost privileged to delete it? I didn't really think there was much wrong. I mean, the describing, like having the hashtag heartbreaker, like that's not aimed at Hearts, that's aimed at St Mirren fans. And St Mirren fans might have been calling him that. I don't know. I didn't think there was much wrong with that. Another easy way to get engagement.
Who, can I just ask, who compiled this?
I don't know. I think it's got somebody new involved.
It seems like this was just this, we are by proxy like chippy Hearts fans just getting a lot of stuff off our chest. It's like all the clubs and the people that have wronged Heart of Midlothian FC over the past like 12 months, and this is just by proxy we're just getting the stuff out there.
I did notice this list was quite Hearts heavy.
Yes.
That's something this terrace podcast doesn't have enough of, you know. Fuck me.
Well, moving on from Hearts, Stephen Dobie was heckled at one point for having a small cock. That happened.
Yeah, I mean, I see this is my tweet that's been picked out. It's very funny,
Craig, are you particularly enjoying this one because it's based on your tweet?
No. Like whether or not Stephen Dobie has engorged enshrined genitals is nothing to do with me. I take no pleasure from the fact another man has a small penis. That's between him and his wife. What I did find funny though is it the Air Ragazzi that were on a crane or climbed a tree outside Somerset Park and were able to look in and cheer, and I suppose normally if you're behind the goals you'd be waving and doing all sorts of stuff to put Stephen Dobie off. So I suppose if you can't do that, the closest thing is you can get a very clear, very distinct shout that he can absolutely 100% pick up, making fun of the fact that that he's got a small cock. Several moments. I didn't think it was all that funny myself, to be honest. But I mean, you know what social media and football fans like. You mentioned the word jobby or cock or something, they go off their heads.
Well, so, like, you know something, 6,239 likes tells you how popular that tweet was.
Was that on your tweet?
Yes. It's weird. It's like sometimes you still get a like or a retweet from it. It's like somebody turning up a party like after it's finished, you know. It's like on the day itself when it went out, my phone was absolutely popping off hard. But then like obviously it dies down the next day and you move on to something else. But then like a month later, you still get the odd like, and it's like somebody pitching up at a party after it's gone, or turning up at someone's house. Oh, I saw you're selling that pair of trainers on Gumtree. Oh, they've already gone. I sold them last week. Oh, right. Sorry.
I liked when we asked Michael Muffet about this, or Michael Moffat, to give him his proper name. And we asked him if he heard it and if he liked it, and he was like, I really enjoyed it.
There we go then. So it'll be interesting to see if there's in football circles, Stephen Dobby is notorious for having a
small penis.
Withered. Well, I was going to go for a kinder word, yes, for a small penis, and that's, it's like an open secret in football, and that's why everyone, when Michael Moffat liked it so much, because people were pointing it out. I don't know, I'm just imagining.
It did lose marks, so we've not actually referenced the word that they actually used, which is Bobby. They didn't use cock or penis or shriveled right. mannequin or whatever Telfer you used previously.
A shriveled mannequin? Never once in my life have I referred to a penis as a mannequin.
Well, it's been referred
doesn't,
to as
doesn't
that
even
now,
rhyme with Dobie.
No, I know. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. It loses marks for. He does the kind of the guy doing it does the same thing that Sean does with Moffat, and kind of says it in a weird way in order to make it rhyme. He says it's Bobby, and it would be Dobie, which is obviously not how you say his name. So
yeah, there's that erstwhile Scotland striker. It might have worked if it was that former Scotland striker, but this is Stephen Dobby. Stephen Dobby's got a wee Bobby. Just lay off. That's my advice. Nobody needs to hear your shouts at the field. You ever been at the football and there's someone who thinks they're an absolute comedian and they're just shouting absolute trash all the time and swearing a lot? The air guys, yes, it was quite funny. Yes, you got me numbers online. I didn't find it funny myself.
Do you know what I hate at the football? When somebody thinks they're being funny and then they will look around to see how many people are laughing. That's the ones I really dislike.
That's like me every single week in a view through the terrace after a crack wise.
talking of exposed flesh, number 12, Inverness's Pixelot system tracking a bald linesman for much of the game after mistaking him for the ball.
Is that Andy, as a man who is bald? Well, your words. Do you describe the back of your head as exposed flesh?
Not normally, no, but I've been known to in parties, known to at parties to talk about it.
I was struggling for a link.
Because when I think of exposed flesh, I think of a pair of buttocks. You know, I don't necessarily think of a man's head.
Yeah, true, but I mean, it technically does apply. It is flesh and it is exposed.
No, that's true, but it's not offensive. Well, you're not going to get offended by a bald man, whereas if somebody showed you their buttocks, you'd be like, oh, come on.
But I don't know if the top of a head is fleshy. I would say like maybe stomach or buttocks or, I don't know, moobs.
Yeah, But there is flesh. I mean, I'm not talking about how much flesh or how flabby it is, but there is literally flesh on your head. And I don't know how more clearly I can explain that.
You can't be any clearer. No. And you know something, you're probably right.
Yeah. On Pixelot, Is this the worst example of it? I mean, there's been a number of goals that have
There was one that I clipped. It was Stennis Muir playing Edinburgh City, and right from kickoff, the ball gets played. Stennis on kickoff, the ball gets played back to Callum Tappan, who launches the ball upfield, and the camera then just turns in the opposite direction. All the players push up the park as the camera moves in the opposite direction. It's pixel. I mean, I can understand why the clubs went for it, but fucking hell, it just hasn't, for me, it hasn't, it's not great, and the fact that it's zeroing in on a bald man's exposed flesh is his buttocks, that is it, just a man's exposed flesh is his bald head. When you add in the word qualifier, the qualifier bald, then use the word exposed, you're thinking of a pair of buttocks, aren't you? Whereas if you just say a man's exposed flesh, you think of the back of his head. The fact that this is zoned in on this man's exposed flesh, it just shows you how far it has to go. If it can't tell the difference between a football and exposed flesh.
I would say the only thing, if he had maybe the back of his neck was flabby, then that might constitute a fleshy
head-ish
region.
Oh, yeah. You're sat behind someone and their neck all folds up over the collar.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you can, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was thinking of
I doubt you'd be a linesman in the SPFL with a big flabby neck, but...
No.
But regardless...
Probably not. Well, on to number 13, which I don't have a link for. It's The Wire's Clay Davis and his inexplicable fascination with Stenhousemuir FC. Now, When this is put together, it did look like one of these quirky things where it's Isaiah Whitlock, isn't it? Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
Who's the,
who's the man who plays Clay Davis in The Wire. And it did look like he was watching Dunfermline against Hearts at the time. He took a quote tweet of somebody watching Dunfermline Hearts who said, "I'm probably the only person in America watching Dunfermline Hearts." And he said his catchphrase, which I'm not going to do because I've embarrassed myself enough today. And he says, "Then when they're playing Stenhouse Muir, let me know." It felt like this was maybe a secret love of Stenhouse Muir, but it seems like he's chatted about some other football teams since then.
I'm disappointed. He's talked about Burnley, that's sort of like finding out a girl you've matched with on Tinder also has other matches, which is fair enough. You know, he's entitled
to
quite
Brexity, aren't they, Burnley?
Yes.
Brexity.
I'm not sure the football team is, but I'm sure the area is very Brexity. I don't know what. I actually can't think of a Burnley player. I don't give a fuck about Burnley at all. He watched this. After that happened, it blew up, for want of a better word, on Twitter, of course. And a lot of people draw a lot of attention to the club, and the club said that you're more than welcome to come and watch a match. Isaiah, we'll show you around Stenhouse Muir, take you to the Crown, perhaps. You can go and sit in the Cannons down at the old shopping centre. But there's no explanation as to where this came from. That's the big thing. I've spoken to people at the club. I have spoken to people at the club, and they have no idea where it came from either. I think it's just we're never going to know. It's going to be like one of those bizarre quirks that no one will ever have a proper answer to. And I quite
have
like
you asked
it
them?
In that way. Isaiah Whitlock Jr., I don't know him to talk to. I can't.
Is he not on Twitter? He is on Twitter.
He's got like several hundred thousand followers, though. He's not going to be interested in what this chode thinks.
Wait, but have you attempted to ask him?
Oh, goodness me, no. A lot of people have, though. A lot of people
just ask him. Well, I'll ask him after this.
Right, it'd be like when you get your my mate over there fancies you. It's like my mate's too feared to tweet you, but can you tell us why you support Steny?
You know, something Telford, it's all very well you taking the mick, but there may be a very easy way to find out why he knows about Stenhouse Muir. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm. What you could do is you could maybe get somebody with a blue tick like Fowler or Joel to ask him.
They've got
the secret
brigade
channels, don't they? Aye.
Have you got a blue tick, Telford?
No, I'd love one though.
Well, there you go.
Genuinely, not sincerely, I would love to get one.
You'd think somebody who managed to get 6,000 likes about a tweet about somebody's Willie would have had one by now, but that's a shame. Right, we'll do a couple more on the normal podcast, and then we'll because God knows what time it is, and then we'll do a few more on the Patreon. So at number 14, Queen of the South placing their commercial manager on the bench after an injury crisis. Sean, this was again going back to Queen's being a bit of a shambles earlier in the season.
I literally had no idea about this. I read this today and I was completely oblivious. I don't really know what to say about it. Was Dan Armstrong even a goalkeeper? I know he's their community and commercial manager. Was he a goalkeeper before that?
He was an ex-reserve goalkeeper, it said in the tweet. So presumably has been in goals at some point. It was actually I don't watch NHL at all, but I noticed that it was about a year ago that there was a similar thing actually happened in an NHL game where there was a guy who was basically in a completely different. I think he was the Zamboni machine. He was the driver of that, and he came on to play for Toronto or somebody because their goalkeeper got injured, and he ended up. They won the game, and
he ended up costing them the match and was never seen from the game.
No, he was it was the opposite. So he was the hero. So the only thing we were denied here was a chance for their community and commercial manager to end up going in goals, which would have kind of summed up Queen of the South over that first few months of the season, I think. Telfer, is there anything you want to add?
I've just googled Daniel Armstrong, and he does not look like a goalkeeper.
Do I have anything to add? No. I didn't enjoy this one, and I'm disappointed to see it included.
Oh, well. If only we'd had another Hearts one we could have chatted about instead. Oh, no, hang on. There's like three
there
or
are
four
more. Don't you worry about it.
Right. See, this is the way
will
that this
nightmare
works.
Ever end?
Right, last one for just now. Number 15, the SPFL chair a meeting with lower league clubs to address concerns about the leagues being halted, but muting clubs' microphones to prevent any questions.
Don't have an issue with this.
No.
How can you have a Zoom meeting with 42 people all talking over each other?
Yeah, who all think that they are the most important person on the call.
And see when this was initially released and it was like, oh, and everybody was muted, and you thought, right, there's probably going to be more to this. And then it turned out that all the clubs had a chance to put their questions in advance, and perhaps they would have got answered that way. You can't have a Zoom meeting with 42 people blethering away.
Yeah, it's just that's I think you're absolutely right, Sean. If you were to have just 42 people squawking, it'd be like just one big stag weekend, and no one needs to get involved with something like that.
And you know something, chairman would squawk. And preen. I can imagine him preening.
I think that this one, I'm going to make an executive decision here and say that this one's a bit of a downer to end on. So I'm going to end instead with Ricky Foster and his sports scene jumpers. So I know we've had three that I've gotten pictures here. One of him with a
rib cage,
a terrifying dog, and one with a comedy dinosaur. What's your opinions on Ricky Foster's look this year?
So I had only seen the dinosaur one, and I thought, right, well, you know something, Joe would love that dinosaur one, and that's fair enough. As much as it's a dinosaur, as much as it is, looks like it's roaring, and you can see its teeth, it is a cartoon dinosaur, and it looks a bit cute. Then when I started working my way through this document, I thought, right, well, this ribcage cardigan is unusual, but fair enough. But it is it's the angry, what is it, an Alsatian?
Is that a Rottweiler? No, yeah.
Rottweiler. Yeah. It's a Rottweiler. Yeah, the angry Rottweiler.
I can assure you, Andy, it's not an Alsatian.
It was Have you shown?
The angry Rottweiler is an unusual jumper. But fair play to him, he has a look, and he's going for it. I cannot criticise anybody about what they wear on television.
Yes, is this that's a fair point? Is this him trying to do a bit of a View from the Terrace then, in terms of the clothes, kind of trying to bring out a bit of personality?
I don't think Ricky Foster's ever heard of a View from the Terrace, let alone tried to have seen one of Sean McGregor's ice cream man shirts and thought, fucking hell, I need to get me one of those. No, you know what? Fair play is something that we've found out recently. It's like that this must be what Princess Diana felt like in her final days, where she's just hounded for every little single thing she does. We've found out to our cost that people really take an interest in the clothes you wear and things that you pitch up in. I would wear without thinking twice about it. People have got all sorts of opinions on them, which can be a bit difficult to get your head around to begin with. But it's just, you just ignore it. There's people, I pretty much on a weekly basis, my stuff gets slagged off. You're just like, well, fair enough, it's your own style, so I'm gonna back Ricky Foster here. Not the sort of stuff that I wear myself, but fair play, man. Keep on flying the flag high.
Yeah, if that Rottweiler jumper had that wee Palace logo on it, Fowler, you'd have it on Friday, no doubt about it.
I didn't realise Fowler was in this podcast, Andy. What are you saying? What are you saying Fowler for?
No. Oh, Fowler, sorry, did I say Telfer? I meant Telfer.
You meant Telfer. Would I wear it if it had a Palace logo on? Probably not. There comes a chance. It's
yes,
like,
you would.
It's like the,
yes.
No,
Telfer,
come
yes,
on,
you
come
would.
On. No. Listen, there's
a second's hesitation.
That's incorrect. I wouldn't wear any of the stuff that he's got on, regardless of whether or not it had a Palace logo on it. There are things, yes, that are more attractive to me because they've got that little triangle over it, but the world isn't governed by what Palace skateboards do and don't. And why come I get a hard time for wearing Palace?
What if it was an angry Alsatian instead of a Doberman or Rottweiler?
I buy two. So once I wore the other one into the ground, I have a spare.
Go back to Ricky Foster. Just a quick word on his hair colour at his age. Is that something that's okay, or is this a cry
for
help?
No, 100% okay. I am. I've spoken to my brother's a hairdresser, about getting my hair done lilac, but we'll need to wait till his salons reopen before I can go and do it. I'm 34. Imagine Ricky Foster's the same age.
Ricky Foster is the spitting image of my next door neighbour, who was in a band called The Wedding.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And he was in a band called The Wedding Present. He was an absolute spitting image of him. So, and I like my next door neighbour, so anyway, I can do whatever he wants with his hair. Even though he's a totally different person from somebody I like.
Good. Well, on that positive note, we're going to end the normal podcast. We've got another 20 to 30 minutes talking about Hearts on the Patreon coming up. but for now, thanks for listening. Sean, thank you.
No, thank you.
Craig Fowler, thank you. And Craig Telfer, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.